Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard in your phone calls. We're glad you're with us today on New Life.
Taking my call. I love listening to you guys.
I'm kind of in a valley as far as my faith. She has a tumor on her lung, and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say. Change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward. You're going to do the next right thing. You're going to sin no more. And he's going to have to sit with that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. Good to see you guys.
We're glad to be with you.
You're with me, but tonight, where are you?
Tonight, I'm going to be at Woodcrest Chapel in Columbia, Missouri. And
doing
at 7 o'clock, exciting, we're going to be recording How We Love Our Kids, DVD, and we're going to be filming. They have a fabulous technology there. And at 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock tonight, Kay and I are going to be presenting How We Love Our Kids, and then tomorrow morning for 4 hours. So it's an opportunity for everybody in the mid-Missouri area and Kansas City, St. Louis to come on down and or come on over. They don't come down. You come over there where we are and be with us. We'd love to have them.
All right, there's an invitation.
Yeah, and, great church.
And tell us about How We Love Our Kids just for a minute. What's the content?
Well, How We Love Our Kids, a lot of books are about what to do to affect the kids and what to do to help the child. And this covers that, but this is first about you as the parent. A lot of times, problems we're having with the kids start with us. And avoider parents, pleaser parents, vacillator, controller parents, they create some of the problems that they see inside their children. And so the subtitle of the book is How One Small Change in You Could Make a Great Big Change in Your Kids. So that was what our story was. Me as the recovering pleaser, Kay as the recovering avoider. We became better parents as we learned to have higher emotional and relational quotients and be able to engage at different levels ourselves. We were able to be better parents with our kids.
Hmm. Well, and Mylon, don't you think that's a lot of many parents' fear is that there's something wrong with them or something inadequate about them. So therefore, it's easier to focus on the child. Oh, my child has these problems instead of looking at what's going on.
I think you're right about that. I think all we have a tendency to do that in all our relationships.
It's not always conscious, but...
Well, I think in all of our relationships, if I have a problem with an individual, we're most likely to look at the other person first than ourselves. And that's what Jesus said. And, you know, let's take the log out of your own eye before you look at a speck in somebody else's. And so this is really about the log in your own eye first.
You know what I just learned? I just learned that when you're developing a healthy attachment with a child, it's one thing to do projects and stuff with them. It's another thing to be playful with them. That the true bonding and, well, you know, what we do is bond. They attach. And that it's playfulness that enhances their attachment to you more than the spending time with them, the project, the watching a television show or whatever. It's playfulness.
We have a chapter in our book entitled The Gift of Laughter, in which we talk about creating fun. And I put a lot of fun ideas in there about how to have fun, spontaneous fun with your kids. Because you're right, they remember those fun memories. I can't tell you the hours of wrestling that I had with all my four kids around the house. And
hey, my son wants to tackle me. He's trying to learn how to play football. And you know, I gear up. It's like, okay, not too hard. Mommy's not too strong.
That is so funny.
But see, even if for you to do those kinds of things and to play that, that is invaluable, Steve. You're absolutely right.
All right. Well, that's How We Love Our Kids. We have the book. If you'd like a copy of the book, you can order it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the place that you could call. When we come back, we'll go to our phones at 1-800-229-3000. We are glad that you're with us. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to interview one of our clinicians that's in our network. Also, she happens to be going to Israel with us. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, if you need help, you could call us, and we could connect you with one of our just about 1,000 therapists around this country that are part of the New Life Network. You just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Talk to a real live human being about that. All right, we'll be back after this.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Let's go to the phones over here, and let's talk with, well, how about Desdia from Indianapolis, Indiana, WQME. I'll be preaching there on Father's Day, the 19th of June. Hello, Desdia.
Hi there.
How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good. How can we help you today?
Yes, just want to say that I appreciate your show.
Thank you.
And I have a question. I've heard you say on the program before about shaming people with biblical verses and things like that. And I just wanted to know what that looks like to make sure that I'm not doing it.
Okay. Tell us how you use scripture with somebody, and then we can respond to that.
Okay. Well, my situation right now is I am working on reconciliation with my husband.
Okay.
We've been separated for 2 years now. And
why have you been separated for 2 years?
He got a restraining order against me.
What did? Okay, tell us about that.
Well, he I called him 3 times in a week to work on our relationship, and he used that to get to the court. Got a restraining order against me, and I think why he did it was as a revenge against me because I got a restraining order against him first.
Okay, so it sounds like you guys, you wouldn't exactly say this is a connected relationship after 2 years, right?
No, not at all. I don't feel connected to him in any way.
Okay, so how is scripture being used in this situation?
Well, I feel like God doesn't want me to get a divorce. I don't feel like I should. I don't think there's, I know he looked at pornography, and I have a feeling that he has a stronger addiction to pornography or sex than he thinks that he does.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm dealing with right now. So anyways, after the restraining order was lifted, I called him just to see what was going on. And he said he was going to send me divorce papers. Well, within these past 2 years, I've been working on myself and try and get recovery for me and mm-hmm. figure out my problems and
right.
everything. And so I had been working on a letter that I was going to give to him that said that, you know, I would be willing to work on the relationship if he would be willing to work on his issues type of letter.
Okay.
So far he seems willing, but like we've corresponded by email some, and I'm still a little shaky about it, but he said he's willing. He's even willing to go to a New Life weekend. I don't know if that'll happen.
Oh, my goodness. this is major here. This is major. Now, how does the Bible play into this and scripture quoting?
Well, I guess I just want to make sure I'm not doing that to him. I guess I wrote him a letter, and when we were talking, I asked him if his requirement, I was telling him my requirements for us to, for me to stay in the marriage and be with him. And he, I asked him if he would have had any requirements, and he said that he didn't because love didn't have requirements, is what he said. And I said, well, you know, I believe love does have requirements. God, you know, requires certain behaviors from us as his children.
Okay, I think we kind of get the picture here. Mylon, Jill, what do you think is would be the best thing for them to do, these disconnected people, that there's a little ray of hope because of a little bit of willingness on his part?
Well, Desdia, I don't think that that was shaming to say what you said. People who are absorbed in addictions don't want to hear anything to contradict what they find pleasurable. And so they you know, challenge you and say, how dare you, or, you know, you shouldn't be hitting me with these verses. But, you know, I think, and I'm going to say something here, it's a little controversial, mm-hmm. not that I've ever done that before, but I think at times shame is underrated. That is, the Bible says it's possible to get to a point where our consciences are seared and we don't have any sense of being conscious about sin. And there should be a level of shame that we should feel when we blatantly violate God's word. And that's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We should feel guilt and remorse, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think if you simply try to share God's heart that you're shaming. If you
sorry to interrupt, but can you give me an example of what shaming someone with Scripture would sound like? An example?
Well, if you are constantly berating somebody's behavior and you're flogging them with verse after verse after verse after verse, and you're, you know, instead of doing what you're doing to say, look, the Bible says, and you said it in a very kind way, and you said, God has requirements, and my heart is to come into relationship with you, but I will have requirements that say to you, I need you to focus on me and focus on our relationship. That's not shaming.
But I have a suggestion for you.
But there's nothing wrong with saying adultery is wrong or those kinds of things, that what you're doing is incorrect.
I have a suggestion for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Because of the track record that New Life Weekend has for couples, and so many couples that were about to be separated, some divorced, the track record of those couples getting back together leads me to say this. If I didn't have this as an end goal, I would tell you something different. But right now, I think your correspondence and conversations with him should be on the order of, I miss you. I miss us. I have not forgotten what we had when we fell in love with each other. I think things can be better than that now. I've grown as a person, and I'm working on me, and I'm going to do a lot of work because I realize I am a huge part of our problem. I love you. I care about you. And really, the only requirement I have right now is that you'd be willing to go to this thing, this New Life Weekend with me. After we go, we'll pick it up from there. Let's see where that can take us. Mm-hmm. And we can deal with it. And he says, well, I want to be sure that I you go, you know, honey, I understand what you want, but let's just go to this weekend and we'll pick up all those issues then, after maybe we have a different perspective about ourselves or about our relationship. So I would be doing everything I could to get him, because if you get him there, he's with other men who have done the same thing he's done that are going to be saying to him, hey, buddy, you got to get your act together. It'll be with a clinician. So it's not just a matter of how good are my letters, or how much shame or too little shame, but you have all of this impact on him in a weekend. So that's where I'd be headed. Everything I do would be about you missing him and you willing to work on you and wanting the two of you to go to that, have that experience together.
Okay, now what did I see as far as changes are concerned with him?
Nothing. Nothing.
Destia, let me just chime in here, because, Steve, I think you are really right there. Instead of thinking that you have to get everything lined up, cross your T's, dot your I's ahead of time, and say everything that you want to say to make sure he knows, no, don't do that. You're going to totally overwhelm him. You've got to, I know you've been separated a long time, and so, of course, you want to be cautious, but take this one step at a time. And there are things that other people can say to him that you may have been saying all along, but he's not going to hear it from you, but he'll hear it from them. So I agree. Get him to that weekend, and then the plan will start to evolve.
It would be...
Sorry, I have another quick question. Do you think it's too crazy to ask that we don't have internet in our home if we did decide to move back in together? I mean,
it is. Yes, it is. It's crazy to ask that now because you need to get to the weekend and you need to see just how important or not important that is to you after the weekend.
See, Steve, what I liked about what you said and what Jill's saying is this is their problem. In a marriage is more than just a porn problem.
Right.
They have a lack of connection. They have a relational dynamic that hasn't worked well. And to grab a symptom or a behavior and say that is the reason
or
why this is.
Always proving points.
Well, it's like this. It's like if you having a pet who has liver cancer. And rather than take that pet to the doctor to get the liver cancer fixed or healed or treated, you're picking fleas off of the coat, hoping that that's going to make it better because you don't want to have a pet that has fleas or you don't want the pet to be uncomfortable with fleas. They've got cancer. It needs treatment. And so your particular relationship has a huge cancer. It needs treated. Quit talking about fleas.
And two, I think there's a naivety that if we just get rid of the internet, this problem will go away.
It won't go away.
You see, there are people.
There are other ways to avoid.
There's other ways to avoid intimacy, and I can lust every day with my eyes. You know, I don't have to have the internet in order to be disobedient to God's intention for my heart.
What you want is not you saying we're not having internet, and him saying okay. What you want is a man who has integrity, who comes to you and says, yeah, I think you need internet because internet's really important in the house. But I want to tell you this. I'm never going to use it unless you're awake and you can walk in at any second and see what I'm doing. I'm never going to use it without us putting a filter on it. See, this is how you make internet work for you versus going through life with a handicap of not having the internet.
Okay, so he should, like,
No, he should not do that. He should not do anything other than say, okay, I'll go to the New Life Weekend with you.
Right, and then after that's when he says, look, this is, you know, I've learned some things. This is how I feel about the internet. Now he will come to me with those things.
Well, he may not because he may not be at that point for another year. But after you go to the weekend, see, you might be more willing for things to fall in place in time rather than you have a 10-point checklist that has to be fulfilled. I want your marriage to be saved. And for it to be saved, you have to see him as the man.
You have to get him on board.
That's right.
He's not
there
completely on board yet.
Couldn't have said it better. He's not on board.
Mm-mm.
Get him on board before you tell him what needs to be in the bag.
Desdia has a high need to know right now that everything's going to be, you know.
It's understandable.
Well, it is understandable, this could have been there before the porn problem ever developed.
A controlling drive in the relationship.
To have to know all the details.
Might cause a guy to say, well, you know, there's only one thing I've got control over, and that's my spare time, and I'm going to use it like this. I'm not saying you caused the problem. I'm saying you don't want to cause it in the future.
Right, I don't want to do that either.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying. Surrender.
Okay.
You need to surrender this to the process that is at hand. And it isn't dealing with all these little things like this that are big things to you. It's getting him some help.
Well,
and you some help.
Sometimes, Desdia, we tell people the opposite advice because they're very passive. And we want them to get proactive, and they need to have some kind of criteria.
Mm-hmm.
You have been very proactive, and you've got your criteria, but it's a bit rigid. It needs to breathe a little bit more, and you need to allow a process to take place.
Jill, could she perhaps be overwhelming her husband?
Yes, and I think I did say that earlier. Yes,
flooding.
I think yes.
He could feel flooded and just can't handle that. So you don't want to have a relationship where you're walking on eggshells. But when you don't have a relationship, you need to walk on some eggshells to try to get the relationship back.
It has to be courted again.
Right. Okay. Hope that's helpful to you. Let's go over here and talk with Cindy from Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to New Life Live.
Thank you.
How could we help you today?
I was just wondering, after my husband lies to me, I was just wondering, how would I ever get where I could trust him again back?
Is
how do you rebuild the trust or ever believe him to start rebuilding it?
Is he still lying to you?
Well, he says he's not, but
you don't believe him,
but
right?
That could be a lie. Yeah. Does he do anything secretive that bothers you?
Well, let me try to do this really short. We went to a concert about 3 weeks ago, and
yeah,
I said, let's get a beer. Well, we got one beer each, which he said he didn't even want it in the first place, and that it didn't even taste good. Well, for 2 weeks after that, he was sneaking a beer every day after work. Well, the only way I found out is because I kept on about it, because I could just tell something was different. So now all of a sudden, he says he's not getting one after work because he wouldn't want to listen to me gripe about him getting one, you know. And it's really not about the beer. It's just about the secret for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, why is he hiding the behavior?
Okay.
I don't even think it's about the secret. I think it's why the secret is there.
All right, well, we'll talk about why the secret is there right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Cindy, and Cindy's husband, she doesn't really trust him, and he was sneaking beers and wouldn't tell her about it. She knew something was different. He says, well, I'm not going to do it just so I don't have to hear you gripe at me. Mylon, you said you don't think that's the issue. What is?
Well, I think that's the answer right there. So I would ask Cindy, do you think your husband's afraid of you?
I think he is afraid of me to where he says he can't tell me anything because I overreact.
That's right. So okay, so that is the answer to your question. You say, well, how do I get trust back? And because my husband lies, but why does he lie? And there is a reaction that he's getting from you. Now, perhaps you aren't overreactive. Perhaps he's avoidant emotionally. And mm-hmm. any reaction, mm-hmm. including breathing,
right.
would be
right.
too much for him.
Looking at him.
Yeah, just looking at him would be too much.
He's guilty.
Yeah, so right. I don't know whether it's tilted that way, Cindy, or whether he has a good read that there is a reactivity inside of you, or as I find
both.
In my office, it's usually a combination of both.
It gets co-created there.
So I think maybe a great conversation you could have with your husband, here's what I'd suggest that you do before I hear Steve and Jill, would just simply be able to say, why is it hard for you to tell me the things that are truthful, and how is it that you see I overreact? And what would be some things I could do to be less reactive so you'd feel more open around me?
But don't say that until you're prepared to whatever he says to say back, I see.
Yeah, I want to work on
right.
me.
You okay. don't want to jump into being defensive.
Right. You say, yeah. okay, I see that now. Or oh, okay, tell me more. I want to understand more about that. What? Okay.
Because if you say, well, that's not true
yeah.
about me, then you're doing the very thing.
Listen, the next time you say that, I'm not cooking for a week. You know, you just got to be sure your response is well planned.
Let alone sex.
Yes. All right, Cindy?
Well, and the problem with this, the reason I don't trust him when he says it, is because he's lied before. So it's like a vicious cycle.
Well, again,
it's a pattern.
I'm to the point of overreacting.
Okay,
you know?
But again, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And I think your husband is focusing on you, and you're focusing on him. And I think that's where we have to, as I said a few moments ago, we have to take the log out of our own eye before we look at the speck in somebody else's and say, honey, what do I do to set up this marriage dynamic?
Well, and somebody has to start.
Yeah.
So even if you feel like it's because he lies, somebody has to start it. So are you willing to start it?
But don't trust a liar. A chronic liar.
Well, she's right. How do mm-hmm. I redevelop trust?
Yeah.
And trust does redevelop with honesty.
Make him mm-hmm. say, make it safe for him to tell you the truth. And then if he doesn't tell you the truth in that safety, then he's got a lot of work to do before you would trust him. All right. I want to talk with Jake from Dallas, Texas, listening online in Dallas. Jake, how are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. How could we help you today?
You're not Cindy's husband, are you?
I'm not.
Oh, okay, just checking. You know, sometimes we had that happen
yeah,
once where we had them call
it's
in.
It's fun to hear the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jake,
okay, yeah.
Jake, I don't care whose husband
yeah.
you are. How could we help you today?
I just have a dating question. I've
okay.
been dating
See,
a girl for 6 months.
You've been dating someone for 6 months, okay.
Yes, sir. And I'm just wondering on a couple things if I'm being oversensitive. Basically, she does some things that kind of affect me a lot that I don't know whether or not I should bring it up. for instance, she will, you know, be late and she'll say she'll call me back and she doesn't call back, or she will, you know, be late and reply to texts and things like that. And just basically a lot of timeliness and like responsibility and respecting my time and things like that. And you know, she's always wonderful when we're together, and she apologizes a lot for being late on this kind of thing. But I don't know exactly what to do because it's happened a decent amount, and I don't know if I'm being oversensitive or if I should just accept that.
Well, I don't think you're being overly sensitive.
Okay.
If you don't mind someone being chronically late or irresponsible and doing what she tells you you're going to do, if that's the kind of life you see you having up ahead, remember, she's putting her best foot forward here in the dating part. So whatever
right.
you're experiencing right now, you'd have to magnify that by a couple or three times that she'd be experiencing once married.
Okay.
But
okay.
I think an important question to ask, Jake, is what does it mean? Instead
yeah.
of just seeing the behavior
Good.
And kind of making your judgment about it, you know, yeah, there's some conclusions you can draw. But it has meaning. And so what does this behavior mean about this person? It sounds like she has a lot of wonderful qualities. And so instead of kind of coming and approaching her maybe in a way that's, you know, confrontive or defensive or you know, saying you don't like this behavior, try to understand it, because you're in the dating process. You aren't married to her yet. And you want to understand what's fueling this, because you don't know everything about a person. And
right.
it could mean a lot of different things. It could mean she's unsure about the relationship. It could mean she's fearful. It could mean maybe she has some ADD issues. There's a lot
she
of things.
She could be so unorganized that
right,
that it's,
right.
And
that
a little
she really likes you, but,
yeah.
you know, there's things
yeah.
that get in the way. She's
or,
highly distractible.
It could mean she doesn't like you.
Right.
But once she's
yeah.
with you, you know, she makes the best of it.
So there's lots of things.
It's
so
really
try
good.
To understand it
Find
first.
The meaning.
Okay.
Mylan had a thought.
But what feeling do you have inside when she doesn't get back to you responsibly?
Well,
what's the feeling
yes.
you have inside when she's
that's
late?
The other side.
I feel kind of like she's being thoughtless, like I'm not necessarily cared about or important.
So
mm-hmm.
you feel not cared for. Is that at all an old familiar feeling in you, not to be cared for by people that should be caring for you? Has that ever happened before in your life?
It has happened before.
Let's talk about that when we come back.
That's a key point.
After that.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. All right, talking with Jake, and girlfriend doesn't return calls. He feels uncared for. It's an old feeling, he says. Mylon?
Well, you said, am I too sensitive? That was your opening question, Jake. And I think the word too sensitive is a word that needs to be unpacked a little bit, because in some cases, if we have an injury associated with a certain behavior, then yes, we can be too sensitive. Or let's just say we have a high sensitivity based upon an injury from the past. So at some point in time, you were uncared for or perhaps neglected. And you said that that has happened. Was that with a mom or a dad? How did that occur?
From what I can kind of remember, it's just been with my parents. My dad was an alcoholic, and he got divorced with my mom. And he's good about staying in my life, but it's just not extremely dependable.
Okay,
parents, I guess
this is mm-hmm. beautiful. You see, because although it's a horrible story, the tie-in is beautiful, because an alcoholic that's divorced is going to be late. They're not going to call back promptly. They're going to miss calls. And you felt missed in the past, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, so then that explains why you're sensitive to your girlfriend's places. And she may not have the same intentions. She mm-hmm. may not be an alcoholic. She may be like some of us who are just more flexible and spontaneous and free, like my wife is. And it's not
and
about
more creative type.
And a more creative type. Mm-hmm. Time, what's time?
Yeah.
You know, and lines, what lines? You
right.
know,
and, right.
You know, and so on. So I just want, I think one of the best things you could do with this, Jake, is say, when you don't call me back, it's a very sensitive area in my life because I have places where I was missed. And if I right. feel overreactive, I want you to know about it, and I want to learn to get healthier here. And sometimes, perhaps you could work on improving a little bit. Perhaps I need to work on letting that be a part of who you are and not get so uptight about it. And
right.
That would be a great thing to discuss with your girlfriend.
Yeah, and Jake, as you check it out with her, then you develop a new experience of, okay, this behavior doesn't always equal what I fear.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
That's good.
And so you get to work on the old stuff, too, with your girlfriend. I mean, in a lot of ways, she's giving you opportunity to work on that old stuff.
But that's what relationship does.
I know.
Adult relationship gives you an opportunity to grow up because what it does is it exposes your weak points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I hope that's helpful to you. Really glad we got into that. And we'll be anxious to hear how all that turns out. See what's going on there. And
healthy anxious.
Healthy, mm-hmm. anxious.
Looking forward.
All right.
Anticipation.
I don't know if my book, Is This the One, is out yet, but I want you to have a copy of it, so maybe we can get your address and send it to you when it finally does come out. Is This the One? It really helps you figure out if this is the one.
Is This the One? I like the title. Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's that talk with Jim. Loganville, Georgia. NRB Network is where Jim watches the program. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I'm a father of a 30-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And she's been married. In fact, they've been married approximately 11 years.
Okay.
And in the 11 years, I'm going to try and make it short as possible. I know you guys got time. Or don't have time. They did divorce.
Okay.
But they got back together.
Okay.
Okay, and they remarried.
All right.
Everything was going fine, but they got in the wrong crowd, and they had, I don't know how far the swinging scene went, but it was too far. And my son-in-law, which I consider my son, is trying... You know, he is doing everything possible to get rid of his addictions, and we're talking about porn.
Okay.
All right. And my daughter seems to lead him on in one way and then turn around and say, well, don't have too much hope, you know, like she's giving up in a way. You know, one day she's giving up, one day she's not. And here in the situation, I have to tell you the living arrangement so you understand a little bit, okay? I have a home, and I made it into a duplex. They live upstairs. We live downstairs, my wife and I.
Okay.
We've been married going to be 35 years.
All right.
And our biggest thing was, as we got married, is we weren't going to live like our parents or other people's parents that we've seen over the years. You know, we were going to be true to each other.
Now, remember how you said you were going to try to make this short?
Yeah, I'm trying.
All right.
I'm asking, what can I do to help my daughter get over this, too?
Why don't you pay for them to go to a marriage weekend?
Well, I would, but I don't think she will go.
Well, you got to ask her.
All right, because my son-in-law already has went.
He went to what?
He went to a counselor.
Okay, but I'm talking about a weekend where they could pull this marriage back together.
Yeah, and where would I go for that, for her?
Well, we have them all over the country.
All right.
We've got one.
Is that the Every Man's Battle?
You got Every Man's Battle, but we've got one of these weekends coming up in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, see, and there's no way possible that I can afford that.
Okay.
Her mother and I are both disabled.
All right. Okay, now, so outside of that.
Up, you know, okay. God's blessed.
Right.
Us,
okay? All right. Outside of that, then. I would say your next hope would be that they could go to see a marriage counselor together.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I'm totally with that. I'm 100% with that.
All right, but why wouldn't your daughter be willing to do anything?
She is being very bullheaded, very, very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have two sons, beautiful. I have beautiful grandsons.
Okay.
They are with me more than with them. Now, on his part, he is going to school and working, and she had just lost her job.
Okay. So,
okay, but I believe that there could be some cheating going on because right. of the swinging thing that they yeah. both got into for
okay.
a while.
So I want us to answer your question. What would be the most helpful thing that you could do for your daughter?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you a first step is to try to build on the connection with them. And whether that is them coming down for dinner more often or you uh-huh. you asking your wife to have lunch with her or whatever. But I would say it begins with connection that means something.
Okay.
So that would be a first step if you don't have the resources for them to go to a New Life Weekend. Now,
right.
there are many people that get scholarships that go to New Life Weekends, and that
okay.
would be something to investigate if you called 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Mylon, Jill, what do you think?
I think that your son-in-law needs to stay on a path of getting help regardless
yeah.
of what your daughter
That's
says
good.
Because
yes,
she's
yes, ma'am.
Up and down
yes, ma'am.
Right now. So I would listen less to her words, right, and have – your son-in-law continue so that she sees his change. And I think that the son-in-law should be going to EMB.
Did
he do that?
He didn't. He just went to a counselor.
Oh, okay. To
yeah.
Every Man's Battle. If he's got a porn problem, to go to Every Man's Battle and make that big statement and really show a difference.
Uh-huh.
So in that way, you know, kind of letting her know that he's serious about making changes and getting some help.
All right. Well, he had. I don't want to say he went to Every Man's Battle, you know, but
right.
he has. He's back in the church where he
okay,
belongs.
Okay, so you're saying he's doing some things that would.
Oh yes, ma'am. He
okay.
He is
well,
trying
Jim,
very, very hard.
Jim,
to get
Jim,
back
part of
right
what Jim,
with God,
Jim,
in his beliefs.
Jim.
Can you hear
yes.
my
part, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Part of what's going on is your daughter sounds like she's what we call ambivalent. You
mm-hmm.
said one day she's in, one day
yeah.
she's out.
Uh-huh.
And she's kind of doing the hokey pokey with this relationship and
yes,
marriage
sir.
And relationship, which is what we call in our book the vacillator. And they have propensities toward this promiscuous lifestyle because they so in much need attentiveness. They have a craving for attentiveness and somebody to adore them. So they, when relationships become a little bit more stale and dry, they tend to drift because they're looking for high levels of intensity. Your daughter needs to come to church. She needs
uh-huh.
to find out that God wants her to be true to Him no matter what her feelings are. And then she needs to be in counseling to understand how to control this ambivalence. If she doesn't, it's going to plague her the rest of her life.
So How We Love would be a great resource for
it could
her.
Very well.
We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right. I got a treat for you. I want to talk to one of our therapists out there. We talk about referring people to a therapist all the time, you know. Well, here's Patricia Kuhlman. Patricia, are you there?
I am here, Steve.
I almost called you Patrick, but that's silly. Anyway, Patricia.
She doesn't sound like a Patrick.
There are a couple things. You're going to the Holy Land with us, first of all.
I am planning to do that. I sure am.
And I'm excited about that. But tell people, I talk about the New Life Weekend, and I sound like a broken record. Why is it a powerful thing for a married couple to do?
Well, oh my goodness, there probably are so many reasons, Steve. But, you know, I think one of the things that I certainly have seen for folks as they come to the weekend is that, you know, as I've traveled across the nation with the New Life team, the thing that I see most of all is that people are not just hungry, but I think they're starving for connection. And it doesn't matter whether they're individuals who are coming for the weekend or whether they're couples, but I think that people are just, they're really, really hungry for how do we make those connections, and whether it's in our marriages or where it is. And interestingly enough, we see on those 36-hour weekend events that people find that when they come together on the weekend. And that's sometimes, I think, the last thing they think they're going to find is, you know, other people. But they do. So it's the connection. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
And they get to be with Patricia, who happens to have one of the nicest smiles.
Yes.
One of the greatest laughs.
Yes.
Great sense of humor.
Thanks, Mylon.
Yes, always. You're welcome.
She's always been an encouragement to be.
Totally.
As opposed to other people who are not.
That's right. There's
yes,
a bunch of
you.
Sourpusses in there. Yes.
Thank you, Patricia, for that. We have a lot of fun at the weekends, too, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, you know, I think getting together, I think that's part of the... You know, I think that is part of the connection. And, you know, I think many times when people come in, I often laugh about on Friday afternoon, and many of you have heard me say that, you know, even to my group participants, you know, we talk about the deer in the headlights look on Friday afternoon.
Right.
Because everybody comes in with that, you know, fear about what's going to happen here and what's going to happen to me. And, you know, and then we start having fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we have those breakthrough, you know, giddy, laughing times. And that's part of the healing process.
It sure is.
I think nobody expects that to happen. And it happens at the most unexpected times, and that is part of the healing and part of the connection that goes on.
Well, I don't think we're going to have any fun in Jerusalem together.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait.
I don't think so either.
No, it's going to be pretty dry toast.
Patricia, thanks for sharing your valuable time with us. We really appreciate you and looking forward to being with you in Israel.
Me too.
And
I'm
on the way.
Looking forward as well.
Thank you. God bless you. Thanks a lot. Yeah, she's just one of the many wonderful personalities that we get to deal with. And I'll tell you, it's scary to think about going to something like that, but it really could change everything for you.
So can you imagine if you do have the deer in the headlights look and Patricia's your group leader? Just
how
you know, she could settle you down, make you feel like you're right at home.
If you're on hold, hold on, because we're going to do another program right after this. But I'm going to take one last call from Jay from Bel Air, Maryland. Quick call, and Jay, thanks for holding on. How could we help you today?
Yeah, I was separated about back in October, and I had some drinking and some pot smoking issues. And my wife had asked me to go away, which I did, and I cleaned up, and we ended up finding out we had like a negative energy in our house. We actually had a pastor come out, and I started, you know, I never had any really dealings with religion or anything.
Now, if I'm going to help you, I've got to get you to get to a question really quick if we're going to be able to help.
Okay, I cleaned myself up and, you know, got baptized, started going to church, and now she wants nothing to do with me.
Mm. Are you going to AA or anything like that?
Yeah, I was doing everything, and I just now...
What do you mean was? Are you doing that now?
I'm at a point now where, I mean, she just wants nothing to do with me, and the pain hurts so bad of everything I did to her.
So when she said that, you stopped going to meetings and stuff?
Not immediately. Like, I still kept fighting and kept fighting.
Right.
Now, our anniversary is this weekend, and it's just so painful.
You know, if you really want her back... Maybe she should see that you're going to be in recovery things no matter what. She might be thinking, well, when I say I don't want to come back right now and he quits going to meetings, if I say I do want to come back right now, he may quit going to meetings. So I can't really trust that he's a changed man.
Well, she doesn't even know, you know? She doesn't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Jay, I know your heart is crushed.
Yeah.
But whether you have her or don't have her, you need to decide what you're going to do for yourself for the rest of your life so that when you find anybody else, let's say this doesn't work out, it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Because there's one guarantee, Jay, that if you go back to the drinking and the drugs, that you aren't going to have her.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And it will ruin every relationship.
But the pain he has inside,
that's what he knows how to do.
That's how he medicates his pain. And
I know.
We have to learn, as we do at a New Life Weekend, we learn to... take care of our pain.
Pain doesn't mean you're going to die.
In relational ways, not a substance abuse, non-relational ways.
Right.
And you're right.
Right.
You won't die with pain.
Right.
Surrender. We talked about this morning in our devotion.
So more meetings.
Surrender is surrendering to the process.
Yes.
Even though I don't like the process. It's one thing to say, God, I'm baptized, I give you my drinking.
Right.
It's another thing to say, God, I'm willing to surrender to the process that's required if I'm going to stay healthy. And, you know, you get around other guys in these meetings, and they don't let you get on a pity party.
Well, and the key word you just used was process, because a lot of people who have addiction issues are into right now, the here and now.
Right.
And so they don't do well with delay gratification and projecting forward into the future.
They don't look past the pain.
They don't look past.
Just make the pain stop.
They don't look past today.
Yeah.
This moment.
That's right. Okay. Thank you for calling us. Let me send you the Emotional Freedom Workbook along with the Life Recovery Bible. I think it's going to help you a lot. Before Mylon shares a scripture with us, I want to remind everybody that we've got some wonderful things coming up. One, of course, is our New Life Weekend, the Healing is a Choice Weekend, Wives in the Battle Weekend. Please, we've got our weight loss program that's coming up toward the end. If you need help, would you please, please call us? We want to help you in any way that we can. And then we need your help. Please support us. Just say, I need to help these people. If it's $5, if it's $10, whatever it is, we need your help. No gift too small, no gift too large. It really could make the difference in another person's life. Mylon, share with us some scripture here as we close up.
Well, all the calls today had a lot to do with fixing other people. And again, the verse we mentioned earlier, just to highlight it again, Jesus said, before you become critical of others, take the log out of your own eye. In other words, get out a great big mirror and stop and look at yourself first and say, what am I doing to contribute to this? Or how are some of my feelings and emotions perhaps creating a dynamic here? And when we walk into relationships and we're willing to share that part, it really takes down to the defensiveness of the other person. So the scripture, take the log out of your own eye before you remove a speck out of your brother's eye.
All right. Well, a lot of us are tremendous speck locators, and we're not very good at logging, and we need to take that log out. Hey, we love you. We care about you. We want you to join us every day that you possibly can. Tell your friends about the program. It really does mean a lot to us when we hear, my buddy told me about this. But whatever you do, don't give up on God. He has not given up on you. He has given you another chance and will give you another chance, as we see all through Scripture. And He loves you. He cares about you. Today, right now, He does.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.